start by saying that I was talking to Marina this morning that I am particularly concerned that this process has not yet stimulated the necessary energy, vibe, and, you know, eagerness in broader society, in parliament itself, among political parties, as one would have hoped that far. I mean, we early on invited parties to start making submissions to us. There has been some response. We've invited members of the public. There was no reaction until the very last minute, and even the number of submissions that we received. One, we're very limited in terms of the number itself, but also in terms of the focus areas that they seem to have focused on. And I'm going ahead of myself here because I haven't even looked at them. But clearly, they don't talk to some of the critical areas that we have begun to look at in respect of which one would have loved to hear more from commentators out there, including Ruth, which has become the subject of keen debate and interest lately, but which I'm not even sure is the actual mission before us. I just feel that we need to find another way to stimulate interest and debate on this issue. And I thought maybe it's something that one could throw by reference to the house. Are there any suggestions of how best to stimulate interest? Because my fear is what I was telling you at the table is that people tend to wake up on the eve, especially with the stimulation of the media, where they start picking up all the controversial issues and throwing them here, there, and the other place. And then suddenly we have to redo the entire work all over again. I'll prefer a situation where the public and colleagues in parliament move along, you know. So that's just an observation and a concern as somebody who's supposed to be talking about leadership, supposed to provide leadership to this group. And maybe we will start looking at bringing in more colleagues as well to beef up our work as well. But those are just some of the ideas that we're reflecting and thinking about. Is there any comments? Yes, Ellen?
Mr. Chairman, excuse me for coming in so soon after you, because I'm here purely as an outsider, as you know. But
sure.
I want to say that following the meeting of last week, I was a bit concerned. And it's an issue that continues to worry me. And that is there a genuine commitment on the part of this committee as a whole and on the part of Parliament as a whole really does require doing very, very urgently indeed.
Yeah. So those that have just arrived, we're just coughing and taking a step back and saying, based on the experience of this exercise last time, and wanting to arrest the moment before it slips through our fingers, are we satisfied with the extent to which we have stimulated both public interest and interest within the presence of this institution in this work? And citing examples of recent incidents where topical issues have stimulated public interest of a certain group, but none of that is effectively before us by virtue of the submission, the public submission that we received that stuff. It took long for this to arrive here, and then people to react. Most reacted right on the eve or even soon after the deadline was gone, and even the areas that we covered. So we're looking at another way of driving this thing in order to maximize the opportunity. And I know that I'm introducing this matter so stuff by way of my opening it up for my welcoming it up. But I'm opening it up for colleagues to contribute. Alright, let me start with those that came first and ladies first. Honorable Putin.
Thank you, Chairperson. I do share the sentiments of Mr. Dennis. In fact, I raised last week my concern with the fact that the ANC has not made a submission yet. And I am concerned. I understand that the easy way maybe to see what comes from this meeting, but I really would have thought that the ruling party also have made a submission. I honestly believe it is necessary. My concern is I don't believe that members of parliament have taken their role as members of parliament seriously enough. I do not believe that even members that go back beyond 1994 begin to understand the rules of parliament. I don't believe that most of the members of parliament understand the constitution. And I think that there's an obligation on the political party to do something about it. I think it is time that members were tasked with or told that they have to actually realize what the implications are of their not adhering to rules and their not taking their constitutional responsibility seriously. And I don't believe that the political parties have taken the obligation or the responsibility seriously enough. If we have got two submissions out of how many parties in the parliament, and the ruling party has not done it, and I don't believe, Chairperson, that it should rest upon you. I believe that there are many members of the ANC that could be sitting and making submissions. I don't honestly believe that members begin to understand the rules of parliament. I fear that there are chairpersons and perhaps even presiding officers that do not fully understand the rules of parliament, which is partly why we have the problem we have. And I think that parties are going to have to do something about it themselves.
Make assumptions about what people know or don't know, but I think the issue is more whether we have been able to stimulate sufficient interest so that we can get much knowledge, and how best do we correct that. But the other hand is that the next hand that I have is Honorable Mangema, then I'll come to the other two.
Well, Chair, thank you very much. It's the first meeting I attended. I've made sure from my understanding. I might be off the stage of some of understanding has gone before. But my understanding of the brief, it might not have been correct, was not a wholesale revision of the
don't think that they rule. Of course, we can take the rules and change them here and there, but I think unless we are sure that it is the rules that make members of parliament not to be hybrid, and making parliament hybrid a fair center of activity for the children of our people. If that is a problem, then surely I think we are right to refuse that. But we may find that there's some few rules here and there that we have to identify the Honourable Mangena. I'm not sure that's still allowed to say Honourable Mangena, former member of parliament. And it was raising a correct point. Maybe we can identify certain chapters that make it difficult, maybe. If vibrant of parliament is because of the rule, then causes some problem. And I think we should look at that. But I think what Honourable Walter was proposing would be fine to take it back to our party. Have some discussion. If parties want to convene their workshop, they should do so. Would also be a good idea, though, to exchange the input. If DA makes certain input, because there will be no harm for DA to give the input as a chairperson of the committee to look at it, then we can also take it to other parties. So that we want to facilitate the conclusion of this work that is being done. I accept it's a very huge task. And then changing the rules really can't happen within 1 year or even 2 years like that. You need a long process if you want to engage members of parliament. But maybe parties they will do that, I don't know. But it's very rare to have members of parliament anywhere in the world, maybe I'm going to know it better, who are interested to sit down and draft the rules of parliament. It would be very rare to expect a lot of members. I think members who are here, they can make some proposals. I guess we should make proposals, take those proposals to members. Members must comment on something that is there. We find it to facilitate that participation. That's why we want to do that. But if you go to them and say, what are the issues that you want to raise about the rules? I don't think it's going to assist them. I think we should make some proposals. Those proposals given to all parties, they look at them, then they start debating some of those issues. I think it would be a best way to do. And to go back to the ANC caucus and say, what do you want to do with your rules? I don't think it would ever work, first and foremost. We must make proposals, take it there, then we'll be focused on the issues that they think are. Some of the issues, anyway, maybe I'm scared, we may find that only one chapter that makes it difficult, maybe for parliament to be vibrant. Therefore, we can work on that in a systematic way. That would be my view.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For me, respect and admiration that I bear to you, I think I need to speak honestly and frankly and completely. I share the concern of the Honorable Ellis. Why are we here? There is an objective need of fixing the rules. Because the rules have not been updated to be brought into compliance with the new constitution. I don't say so, the rules say so. If you flip the pages, you see that constantly this has not been brought into compliance. That's completely unacceptable. 16 years down the road, we look back. Then there is a second need of improving on the rules to make Parliament function better, to make them more consistent, more understandable. There is a third need, and that is to ensure that the rules reflect the spirit of the intervening constitution. And that's a more difficult task. We made from the FP submissions to you 3 years ago in detail and proposed amendments, and those have not been discussed yet. We don't have the submission from the ANC, as the Honorable Ellis pointed out. My concern, sir, and I put it to you for somebody to tell me that I'm wrong, is that we are just being choreographed to an exercise in which at the end of all our talking and not reaching consensus, not doing anything, the staff will come up with a draft which will ascribe to our collective decision making that will be given to the rules committee, and that will become the rules, and they will be fixing the technical amendments where the fixing is absolutely necessary without addressing the NATO problem. Why do I conceive such a terrible fear? We saw that last week we had a major set of rules projected as the interim arrangement in reaction to the Constitutional Court, projected as necessary, and they are not necessary, which are technically incorrect, which we have not deliberated on, which people were given less than 24-hour notice to consider, which I did not receive notice about, and that's how they were passed. So if the same process is going to be followed, we have problems, and there are structural problems. If you look at what our staff or our speaker or whoever is calling decisions, the type of submissions they made in the Lakota case, it's the understanding of the rules of power, the understanding of the standing order, where the argument is, well, that's the way we've always done it. I mean, to me that shows not clear understanding of the hierarchy of sources of law which has been established by the Constitution, confirmed by the recent case of the Constitutional Court. And that fixing needs to take place through the rules. We are no longer in the Westminster system, where presidents could have had the same standing as the as the rules themselves. We are very rigid hierarchy in the rules themselves. And that needs to be accepted as a paradigm change. Now, when these things are in place, then we can discuss. But I feel very uncomfortable in not having an ANC position. I'm not sure whether you, Mr. Chairman, are the person who represents the ANC position. At times I see the Honorable Jeffrey here, at times I don't see. We need to do this, and we need to do it seriously. I'm going to be very disappointed, very upset, if at the end of this process, I end up feeling a choreography to something that comes out of the table, which reflects the same foundational errors which are now affecting our rules.
And I also had Mr. Kastin.
Chair, thank you very much. Former Minister Begin Gubane used to ask the question, how do you eat an elephant? And then he would say, you know, one bite at a time. Now, when we met with Sir Malcolm Jack, he made some very pertinent points. First of all, he said, how is Parliament communicating with you? Then he said, if we make rules, rules come about through political impetus. So there has to be political impetus to make sure that rules occur. He also spoke about the modernization committee in the UK that has been pivotal to rules changing, because the modernization committee has been on the lookout for what needs to be brought in order to make Parliament relevant. Then the institution there of the bank backbench business committee, and how this backbench business committee started working out the schedule for the next 27 days. And the point he made about the half-hour adjournment debate, which allowed for constituency matters to feature in Parliament. Now, if we take what Ben Kubana was saying, one bite at a time, and we had gone through these ideas, then you put them out maybe in a PowerPoint presentation and say to the party, is there purchase for these ideas or not? If so, then you know that you can take that on board. And the idea that was mooted also, that we should go chapter by chapter and finish chapter by chapter. To my mind, I think last week we were focusing on chapter 4. Now what we should have been doing is to say that today, before we begin with new business, can we conclude chapter 4 and determine what needs to be done. So that then when we begin with chapter 5, it becomes business for now, which will then be resolved at the next sitting. Now if we were to do that, then little by little, we would be capturing that which we dealt with, on which consensus was found, so that even if the work of this committee is not completed, at least a substantial portion of it will have been done, so that it leaves future parliaments then to deal with the work of the sections that were not dealt with. And even looking at these present rules and looking against what is happening in other parliaments, for example, I made notes which I'm quite willing to hand over on chapter 5, and there's a whole array of areas that are not covered in our rules, which are quite standard in the rules of other parliaments. So it could be then put out to the parties to say to them, would you like the inclusion of such a rule? If ticked, then you capture it and you move on. Thank you very much.
Colleagues, I introduced this discussion as a form of an intervention. I know I had trouble with Marina this morning debating whether to introduce such a discussion would amount to a revisit to the overall agreed plan and framework of underpinning this process. But I do believe that regardless of whatever process one may have agreed upon, one should not be blind to the men on the roadside that you come across if you're driving towards your destination. If there are new circumstances that we didn't anticipate, or if in the course of the destination we anticipate that there could be challenges that might not help us achieve our destination as speedily and as successfully as we have hoped or when we planned, I believe there is no harm in pausing and reflecting on the road that we have traversed and looking at whether we have enough petrol to reach our destination. So it is in that context and in that spirit that I thought I may just deviate and reintroduce this discussion. I think what is emerging out of this discussion is that there is an acknowledgement that we do need to do something to put this whole process on another footing. That the momentum thus far is not quite at the level we would want it to be. I concur with Honorable Ambrosini and would want to assure that there is no intention of this being reduced to a mechanical exercise. It is meant to be in profound engagement with the rule book, not for its own sake, but for the reasons it's given and added. Yes, the Constitution is the paramount law. Yes, these rules were made under the interim Constitution. And despite the, piecemeal improvements that have been effected along the way, it remains a rule book that was informed. As Honorable Janidi Lange at the workshop shared with us, largely by practices, conventions that predated even the current constitutional order. So those were some of the compelling reasons why a fresh look at the rule book was necessary. In my understanding of our instructions from the Rules Committee, is that we need to perform a comprehensive review of the rule book, and as opposed to what we have been doing all along, which is tinkering or piecemeal correction or improvement. So my understanding of that is that we have to look at the rule book as a whole. Doesn't mean that we have to necessarily change every single word, every single clause, every single rule. It might have a different number but still read the same. But what should drive what needs to come in and what needs to go out? Yes, the Constitution is paramount, I agree with Article 116. The new prevailing character of Parliament, based on the general feeling or opinion that has evolved around Parliament and what kind of Parliament we want, should imbue the new set of rules. So there are really a compelling set of issues that I think in our document, what do you call it, that founding document of the Africa, the project proposal, whatever it's called, the motivation is there. That is the basis on which our mandate was granted by the system. Now coming to the issues, one around stimulating participation and community of the broader community of Parliament, before we even talk of the broader public, there are different ways we could do it. One which didn't quite work was to simply in one sentence say to people, tell us what you suggest. Another way would be to be leading. You know, in court they say don't ask leading questions. Maybe we should provide leading questions so that people are focused to issues that they always talk about. But until you provoke or prompt them to talking about, they might not necessarily do. Another issue would be to also suggest a process where parties could open up for a period of time to their own members to, even if it's by way of a, what do you call this, boxes, like ballot box, throw in ideas. Because individuals can be very powerful in creative ideas. And you don't want to lose out on individual creativity. You may be sitting here thinking you have a right to speak to an end, but you'll be surprised what other individuals outside of your process can contribute. But obviously you also want to not undermine the character of the institution, which is which has political parties as its own. So we don't want to create a dichotomy between individual members and the parties to which they belong, because those are the mandating structures that inform and shape collective opinions like that. Now, technical drafting should follow principles considered position. So the dog must always wag its tail and not the other way around. So I agree with that, Honorable Ambassador. So I don't think we should actually even be worried about that issue, because the whole exercise we're engaged in is precisely to achieve a situation where the process is politically driven and not otherwise. The proposal would be, in my view, that given the fact that this is our last meeting for the year, and in order not to lose out on this gap between now and next year, to stimulate some kind of activity that would make sure that value is added to this process even during that period. So maybe an idea could be to formulate a recommendation to all the parties to encourage them to reflect on the rules, the body of rules as a whole, as against the Constitution.
migration and other policy considerations that are currently before Parliament, with a view to making concrete proposals, firstly on which areas of the rules they feel strongly that improvement is necessary, and if they can, to suggest the manner in which those improvements can be effected without necessarily attempting to rewrite the rules at a in a technical form. That's the one suggestion that I would make. Coupled with that, we could formulate a set of probing questions that would stimulate and direct that kind of input. Now, Parliament is rising next week. This is literally, tomorrow is my last day in Parliament for the whole of next week. And I'm not sure whether it would be practical for us to meet next week to consider any such communication, or whether we could delegate to a smaller group of people to consider such a formulation and to have it distributed. That's just the practicality that we may want to look at. If that is not practical, perhaps the point should simply be to suggest the political parties to revisit this issue and to formulate the kind of responses that have been expressed here for our consideration into the new year. So that come the new year, we have a feeling that we're not just talking amongst ourselves and for ourselves alone, but that other colleagues elsewhere have started to influence the process that we are starting on. That would be my proposal going forward. I don't know if there are different takes on this issue. Okay, let me start with the Honorable Mtakana and then I'll turn to you.
No, sir, I think that the proposal really could be combined. But my view, general, is that if you want members to participate, the only wise for us to give them some probing questions. Otherwise, really, just to go to them and say, what do you want to do about their rules? I don't think they'll do that with that at all. If there are areas, there will be principles that will guide some of the issues that are very vulnerable on this thing. And then if we put that in there, we ensure that members then they focus on the issues that we want them to focus on. They would add if there are areas that they think we never touch on. But really, I'm very aware of the situation that their members should. In fact, very few members anyway are interested in the rules. Even those who have been here since 94, they are not interested in the rules. It's a very critical aspect. We only learn the rules by application. And then we should not really think that they will then come in large numbers. Let us give them probing principle questions, a constitutional review, they're leaving them. Why? Because we have to tell why they need for us to review our rules. Then we'll capture the old issues correctly. Give it to parties, they look at it, they'll come back really some views. And then they call me to work on that one. I think to me, the approach that we should do, every time we conclude a chapter on our campaign, we take it out to parties to comment on. But then everyone is involved then until the end. I don't think we'll ever find the ANC caucus calling 17 people to take down for the rules. I don't think we'll ever find that happening. But we may have individuals who are lawyers, advocates, some members who are interested anyway to see the rules change and giving some rules because of the discussion. That if we do that, share will be fine. We can also delegate a small team just to sit down next week, to analyze this matter, and then take it forward on that. Of course, with you are, it will be impact with you in terms of the technology, I guess, now can approve that and then they move on.
Honorable Alex?
Chairman, I must say that I'm now starting to get a little bit excited about this. Because we are not talking the kind of language that we should be talking. I say again, sir, and I said it last week, that I was desperately concerned last week at the direction that the meeting took, where we seem to be taking an isolated incident in the rules and discussing it in length. haven't yet even sat down to discuss what type of parliament we would actually like to create. That for me is a fundamental question. If you're going to rewrite the rules, you've got to have an objective in mind. What type of parliament are we wanting to establish? Is it a parliament where everybody participates, a real participative institution? Or are we trying to create a parliament where nobody participates, where members just stand up and or vote at the appropriate time? We actually need to have that debate. But my honourable colleague Jerry is absolutely right. Parties aren't going to just respond because you ask them to. Some parties will, some parties won't. I think the idea, and I really want to emphasize this, you need to create a list of important questions that need to be asked. And you need parties to have the input on that. But those questions, sir, cannot just be drawn up by officials or members of parliament or anybody. It's got to be a combination. And maybe, without it being necessary, to include one or two of us so-called consultants. But this is now, sir, the kind of approach that we should be adopting. But until we've had those debates, until we've got that information, I honestly believe that we would be wasting our time. But if we got that information and we sat down early in the new year and maybe had a workshop again with the members of the committee and went through all the information that we've seen, decided what kind of institution we were trying to establish, and then proceeded from there, I think that we would then be on some kind of right track.
Alright, just to wrap on this one, are there any suggestions, firstly, of how big this committee could be and any names that people would want to propose, and such smaller tasks that would work on? And I suppose we're mandating them also to go ahead and speculate whatever they then come up with which party, so that we don't need to bring in to approve that as a larger body, which then means that such a smaller group would have to be inclusive. Maybe not necessarily everybody there, because we don't want to reconstitute the committee in the truth, but we want something smaller than the committee. Any suggestions on that?
I don't think I can find a good reason to pull myself out at this point, in for a pound, and in for a penny, in for a pound. But, you see, what I would suggest, I know, you know, everyone thinks about what one does not have. The Honourable Alice is a different category than mine. But the, and this could be a self-serving proposal that each of us works differently. If I were in the task force, in the task team, what I would find useful to make progress, well, what I would find is to make progress, yes, the declaration of principle, what type of parliament we want, the idea, the things, the feeling, the politics, that's all fine. But we are amending an existing field. We are really producing an amendment here. And I would like to go through with my colleagues, with you, Mr. Chairman, clause by clause, and say, do you have a problem with this? No, that's fine with me. Next, okay, do you have a problem with this? Yes, I've got a problem. What's your problem? And through this, one, the principles are going through. I mean, I got section one, rule one, and fine. Rule two, I've got a problem. I don't fully understand it. There are three different things there. Can we simplify? I mean, there are rules.
Colleague, I never understand if
I
interject.
And
I think you have brilliant ideas that can feed into such a task.
So I should shut up
and
later.
And effectively, what you're doing, you're motivating why you should be better.
No, but I'm looking at the terms of reference. What I'm suggesting to you, Mr. Chairman, don't set up a task team which brings you concepts. Set up a draft task team which brings you draft amendments. Otherwise, the set up guy.
But there's a difficulty with that, and that difficulty relates to what you yourself proposed earlier. But can you just hold that thought for a moment?
The task is so that it brings back amendments, otherwise, we'll never leave the field of generalities, and that somebody else will fill that with an image which needs to be made. And then this is what I don't want.
This is possibly my thought. Yes, Honorable Chairperson.
Chairperson, just a quick question. Last week we decided that it would be helpful, and I wonder if this shouldn't happen prior to the past meeting. We decided it would be helpful if we looked at all inputs thus far, including the two political inputs and the others, and draw up a draft which shows what inputs have come on each tool, on each rule. Would that not be helpful to the task team? Because when the task team meets, we actually are looking at where the issues are. And I think that our person would like to see that done before that task team meets, personally.
All right. What you do have currently, yeah, all right, you want to chip in first? All right, just go ahead.
I was just firstly thinking that just trying to integrate different discussions that we've had. The one is that the parties should be brought on board in a more sort of inclusive way. And I think, as Mr. Ellis said, that can be done through posing certain questions and getting them to discuss it internally. And that may be an aim for next year, begin to start off with next year. But then it's the other issue of a structure, a task team, which would obviously be comprised of members from this committee. And I would suggest that committee would basically be tasked with drawing up amendments based on the submissions that were received. That task team would then report to this committee to basically agree on rules. So I'm trying to incorporate the different positions that have been articulated here into a strategy.
All right.
Can I be emphasized that the policy shouldn't come from anyone who shouldn't just be at this point, shouldn't just be MP, shouldn't just be for policy. But it needs to have a kind of status so that you feel that we will pass down.
Well, certainly, and we're also sensitive of gender issues and other issues as well. It seems to me that we can merit two ideas, both of which have clearly distinct outcomes. The one idea is to stimulate broader interaction within the larger assembly or community of parliament or the assembly. And that's such a task team could say by way of crafting probing questions that could facilitate and stimulate responses. That can then be forwarded to parties, which they in turn can use to engage their own members and do that. But the suggestion is that over and above that, such a task team can then also sit and actually have a go at some formulation of draft. How it conducts the business. If business is something that it can agree to, it is just because my experience of legislative drafting when I was still an official is that we used to call it a very lonely and you go into solitude when you draft, because it's a form of art and collaboration. I don't know if art is to collaborate, but you tend to either give different pieces to different people and then you compare notes, you integrate, or one person goes and formulates something and brought to the broader collective to engage with and chop and change. There's different ways of doing it. Suppose such a task team could agree on how it goes about it. In terms of its composition, I think that obviously the support staff of necessity would have to be part of it and support it. And they can decide how best to other groups would be serving members and the panel that is here to support this work, which is the former members. Now, in terms of size, obviously we'd have to keep it to a minimum. We may want to then agree as to who should be on that. Obviously, ensuring that are there any suggestions in terms of composition and constitution, in terms of size and name? Any recommendations? Any volunteer for that matter? Let me take volunteer before I instruct. Honorable Dagan, are you available? Are you available on the task?
Well, I hear that advocate
will
be much suitable.
We should
and
the
amen can assist.
There's a direct question to you. I'm going to ask people one by one.
Yeah.
You're available. Alright. Amongst the former members, who amongst you do you want to nominate? Before I go to the former members, a lady at the corner, that Miss Killian, I'm sure you would only be too happy to stand on the platform. You have a passion for it. Just like we are animals with similar so we have two that far from currently serving members. Obviously Honorable Ambrosini is a definite. He needs to be there. I would be more comfortable with two ANC members there. So JJ is not here. Malala is here. Well, as chair, I will not even be here next week, so I'm already passing along some of those lines. Alright, let me pause on the ANC question. From the former members, can I get a name? I'm beginning to worry about the gender question, that it looks like we, in any case, inherited a male dominated pattern. Between the names Alice and Citrin, I'm trying to think. Alice was a party animal when it comes to Ruth. It looks like it might be imperative to have you on there. So it's such a difficult question. So I do think that it is necessary for Alice to be here. So for now, from Dakana, it's Alice, it's Ambrosini, and it's Killian, it's four. Trying to keep it.
From the
DA, yes. Well, Alice is the DA. Ms. Killian actually solves our gender issue as well. The two Killian Cullen both. We have them both. Because we're also trying to pick on people who have particular, you know, inclination towards leaving the house and whatever. Alright, I'm trying to keep things tight at the same time. Do you want to bring more people, or do you think that would be more or less?
Issues would be that anyone can come,
yeah.
You know, including families from outside of this structure, for example, if they really want to.
Yeah. From the empty side, I suppose, can I say JJ, and knowing he gets very busy in the presidency, he'll alternate with Honorable Malaya, Advocate Malaya. So if one of them wants to. Is it more or less? Yeah. Okay. Yes?
Do we have from the technical side, did you say that you requested, you suggested Mr. Ellis? And what about Mr. Stephen that you nominated?
Oh, you mean in terms of the panel?
The former members.
Yes. We said Ellis because of his particular. Yeah, we couldn't, in Chilean, what am I saying? We could insist Sitchin, Ms. Sitchin, to make it how many now? Because I'm trying to tighten things also. It looks like we're eventually going to end up with the entire group. We need to keep things tight. Alright. Mr. Tim is in. And then the officials obviously be there. They can decide how they organize themselves. We don't need to do that detail. Alright, so that's basically it. What we'll then do is we'll ask I'll interact regularly with the port staff so that we can facilitate. The idea is that we would then also be expecting to work even during the recess period, so we may need to call ourselves as and when we feel that it's necessary to drive the process forward to expedite. So come next year, something meaningful has developed out of this exercise. Of course, you are part of the technical support. In fact, you the lead person, you've taken for granted. Now, the two other items here, I'm not sure whether you want to still engage on them or you want, in the light of what we've just done, to defer this matter to that task team. So they can go back and look at what summary came out of what we discussed last time, because that relates directly to the substance of this, as well as the issue that we're going, the substantive question that we're going to deal with today, which relates to discussion on public meetings. All the old 66 and free speech issues, which we don't even want to venture into at this point in time, given all the that prevail. God, this deadlock breaking mechanism thing. How did it happen that we have a committee but cannot make decisions? How did this happen? I've been like this for 18 damn years. God, let that explain. Give you another reason why you need to review our room. Those who didn't know why we're here, now here is one reason. We have a committee that cannot make decisions. All right. Thank you. All right. All right. Yeah. All right. Colleagues, do you still feel we need any other discussions to have in the last of hours? Yeah? Or do you allow me to adjourn?
I don't think it's probably not appropriate to go into any further conceptual discussions at this point. I just wanted to get clarity from the Staff Administration. What exactly then is the mandate of the is it leading process? In other words, is it coming to this structure with technical rudiments, or is this structure going to be discussing conceptual issues and taking those discussions to the technical team? I just wanted to know which is the lead structure, so that when we sort of start working, we have an understanding of the process.
We said that there is a process for this committee that we subcontracting, if you like, to this substructure, and that is to facilitate greater participation with Parliament by way of formulating probing questions. That's the one issue that they have to do, and they can also agree as to how, then having formulated, do they then convey or second quite distinct role is a much more technical one, and that is to begin to engage, as much as stand, for example, the rules of debate, the last week's one, meetings of the House, I think it is what we're dealing with last week. It's an issue that a summary has been developed. They would have to look at it and say, in the light of that summary, in the light of all other considerations, can they begin to have the first bite at rule formulation? And that would lead, and obviously that would be informed by what are the underlying principles that are driving whatever formulation that are being proposed. So, but let's not preempt, I think, and to be too prescriptive to that task in as to how it should conduct them, because we could end up being pedantic and focus on trivia, which should best be deferred to that group of seven wise men and women. So I would say in general that is their mandate in relation to both of them. Alright, on that note then, unless anybody feels strongly otherwise, I'm going to suggest that we adjourn our meeting. We had a meeting quite in there, so yes, Honourable Dakan.
No, I didn't hear you. I shall sort of be clear myself, because I would never trust any rules. Is my understanding correct that they have the responsibility of the task of the chief is to facilitate participation in drafting of the rules. That is the main purpose.
What will happen?
The point, because don't worry, that there's a rules committee, this is the task committee of the rules committee. And they are setting up a task team to facilitate the work of this task committee of the rules committee. The mandating structure is a rules committee.
Yes.
And therefore, it's important, because I think you are raising a correct point. And then, if there were, because there will be people who are capable in such things, there will be people who will be capable to discuss the broad, guiding principles, and therefore those who trust in the draft, or Ambrosini says, can trust anything, I guess.
Just to facilitate so that we don't too long, I'm sorry. I shared an experience of drafting, and I compared it to that of an artist, that there are moments of drafting which, where you do drafting overnight, then the midnight oil. I do not foresee a situation where that smaller task team can sit for 24 hours, that individual can. So how it organizes itself, let's leave the detail to the
convener.
Alright. I would propose that you be the convener so that my hand is freed. I prefer to stick to being the chair of the broader group. The person who, so the idea is that it must likely be a technical, highly technical.
It's very handy. But just look at
get these things moving and working.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be better to have a John Jeffries as a convener.
No.
Well,
my fear is that he is a handful. Sometimes I try to postpone and shift meetings around him, and sometimes it becomes even impossible to do that. I think. Make sure, Honorable Mbakane, that one, you have the numbers of these three people, you get to know them personally very well, because that would be the direct support. In any case, for the next 3 weeks, I'm out of circulation because I'm stuck at a magistrate commission, filling a 55 entry level vacancies out of 2,200 applications. So I don't want any distractions of any kind. All right. On that note, can we then adjourn the meeting? Thank you very much.